Okay, here we go. Parshas Vayesha. I'm being ambitious this week in terms of what we can cover in one night and what we can't cover in one night. But I'll do my best, as always. Some really interesting stuff. As always, Sefer Bereishit is, full of all kinds of interesting things. And there are wonderful, wonderful statements and svarim and articles on the subject. And this first piece comes from a sefer called L'Torah L'Moadim from Shlomo Rav Zevin, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim, right? Not that long ago, actually. And he has sort of articles on these subjects. It's a very interesting sort of approach to two words that appear in the first week of the Parsha. The Pasuk says, opening the Parsha, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv. The Yaakov settled in the land of his fathers. Hamusagim ger v'toshav, b'muvan hamusari, heim gemishim u'mitchalfim. Those two words, ger and toshav, are flexible, and they change. How so is what he's going to explain. So this is sort of a drush, but it's a really nice drush. She says, Ashrei Yoshev Esecha. Let's see, what does that term, what does that mean? Ashrei Adam, shemagishit atzmo l'toshav kavua, v'beit ha-knesses u'beis ha-medrash. So praiseworthy is the person who feels like he is a resident in the places of Torah. Yachol Adam lasos kol tzirachav berov hayom uberechov ubashuk. It could be the case that a person spends most of his time, spends most of his things out in the field or out in the market. Ulishal ushatayim lishos beis haknesses letzvila lima Torah. Right, and only for maybe an hour or two in a day is a person available and able to be in a place of tefillah, in a place of learning. Ubechol zot, this is the fifth line, end of the fifth line. Bechol zot, lahagish shebechol hayom hu kiger ubebeit haknesset kitosha. And even though the amount of time he spends in one is greater than in the other, it's the place where he spends less time where he feels more at home, and he can still view that as his home, and that he's a resident there. Mashal la'adam hanosei lemirchakim letzorech parnasasel, person who travels for work. V'rov hashanu nimtza baderech, most of the year he finds himself outside of his home. V'rak lezman katzar hu ba habayta, only for a short period of time he's at home. B'chol zot baderech hu margish atzmo kigir u'bayit kitoshav. Nonetheless, the fact that he spends less time at home does not impact how he views himself with respect to his home. That's his home. That's where he resides. That's where he is a resident. Lokamut hazman kovat ha'itiyashvut. It's not the amount of time that establishes it. Ela ha'karava hargasha, the feeling and the acknowledgement, the assessment, the awareness of that reality. V'yesh lahafech. And then there's the opposite. Berachovu b'shuk ha'adam argish nesatzo ketoshav ke'ezrach. Person feels more at home when they're away. He doesn't feel at home. He doesn't feel comfortable in a place of tefillah. He doesn't feel comfortable in a place of learning. You could even extend it. He doesn't feel comfortable at home. He feels like a stranger in his own home. So it's a spiritual home, it's a physical home, either one. He doesn't feel like he belongs in either. Again, it's not the amount of time that the person spends there. It's the manner in which the person sees that location. To take it even a step further, back in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, just as an aside, the Jewish people did not spend most of their time in Yerushalayim at the Beit HaMikdash. They spent a very small amount of their time during the year at the Beit HaMikdash. But that feeling carried them between one stop and the next time, and they always felt that when they came to Yerushalayim, that they were coming home. That was their Beit HaMikdash, that was Beit Hashem, and Hashem welcomed them, and they belonged there. They didn't feel like outsiders in the Beit HaMikdash. They just felt like they were at home. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's the same idea, even it's not an amount of time. And so he says, as follows a little bit for the second paragraph, Ha'olam hazev olam haba, misholim leprozdor utraklin. Right? It's like the palace and the passageway. Hatkin atzmacha beprozdor. Right? Get yourself ready while you're in the hallway. Kedesh tikan es utraklin, so you can get yourself ready to go in to the actual hall. Hu b'chein, kan hagerus v'sham Hit azrachut. Here is the place where you're a ger, you're a foreigner, you're a stranger. There, you're a citizen. V'hakviyut, and that's where you're established, right? So the world itself today, this world is that place of feeling like a ger, like a stranger, And the world to come is the place where you feel like you should belong and you'll feel like home.
Is this also the basis by which some put their tefillin outside of the Beit Knesset, and, you know, in the hallway and before they come in?
Why is that? Yes.
I thought they didn't want to come in late. That's
practical. That's practical. I wonder, maybe. That does sound familiar to me, but I don't know.
I
have to look that up. That's a good idea. I don't know. Right? It says, "Avalo kula margishim ke." Not everyone feels like that. Husha kasub, it says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Ko yoshve sevel v'shochnei aretz kineshonei harim tiru kitkoshavat yishma'u." She says, "People who are inhabitants of the world and dwellers of earth, right? They should listen." Yesh mehem yoshve tevel shemargishim et asmam kitoshavim bekvuim v'yesh mehem shochnei aretz margishim shehem shcheinim v'geirim. They feel like they're just sort of neighbors and strangers, and they're not really like, they don't really belong on the land. He says, here in the Pasuk with respect to Yaakov, Ubasarim Kasuv Shah Pasuk Mashim is Yaakov al Shabikesh Leshe Vishalva. The Yaakov of Yinu wanted to sort of settle and live in peace. B'makom Sha'arviv Hirgish Atzmo Kiger. In a place where his father felt very much like he didn't exactly belong. Yitzchak sort of lived a life where he was already ger, he was already stranger in the land, because of a larger prophecy. Pasuk says, "Vayeshev Yaakov eretz migurei aviv." Right, Yaakov tried to settle in the land where his father felt like a stranger. I just want to read it that way. Yitzhak hikir, Yitzhak saw, "Shebalam hazeh eino ela ger." V'Yaakov ratza leishev kitoshav. Yaakov wanted to settle there. Amasi avos simin labanim. He says, and it was always the case that the actions of the fathers are symbolic to the children. In the moment when Yaakov wants to settle in the land and feel like he is settled, that he's comfortable, immediately at that moment is when the anger of Yosef jumps up upon him. Yosef suddenly becomes the explainer of dreams of other people. Yosef hiskel b'chalamos gedolim, b'shivos gedolos shel atzmo. He began with his own mighty, massive, great dreams. Hashemesh v'yareu kuchum mishtavim lo, v'siim b'chalamos shel sarah mashkim. And he ends off dealing with the dreams of the man who brings the wine. And in the end, l'vasof lo zachar sarah mashkim es Yosef ishkecheu. In the end, he's completely forgotten. V'chach haya b'zman ha-golos. So it was in the case of the golos. Certainly in the most recent generations. Habarim chalmu chalamo shalachirim. What were our people dreaming about? They were not dreaming their own dreams. They were dreaming the dreams of other people. They're trying to establish and fix the world with ideas and concepts that were strange to who we are. Why did that happen? It happened because we felt very comfortable and very at home in those places. B'makom sh'avoseinu hayalahem rak eretz migurim. Our forefathers, the deepest recesses of our ancestry, who were the first ones there, did not feel comfortable in those places. They were foreigners and they were reminded of it on a regular basis. But as you spend time longer in a location, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 800 years, 1,000 years in a location, so then the ideas and the ideology of the location become yours, and that which is yours sort of dissipates and you forget. V'hasof, the end of that first column, kamuvan, v'lo zachar sar hamashkim v'yishkacheyu. Completely forgotten. That which who you are, that which your essence is completely forgotten. You forget it, and certainly they forget it. V'kach haya gam begalus b'avil, top of the second column. Hagolim harishonim hirgishu atzvam kigerim. The first people who were exiled felt it. Al naros bavel sham yashavnu gam bachinu eich nashir eshir Hashem alad masnecha. They wept. They cried. How can we do it? We can't sing the songs. We simply can't do it. Ulavasov. In the end, these yashu habanim kolkach achis chilul his bolel vanasu nashim nachrios. They got so enmeshed and so much that they become assimilated into the local society that they started to marry out. They started to become literally part of the other world. They didn't want to come back. It was only the strength of Ezra which brought them back. On his own shoulders, he carried them back. Without him, forget it. In the time of the Chashbonim, he's going to now twist it a little bit in that. Nisgalet Sarachir Shel Hamatbeah, a different side of the same coin showed itself. Vayagar Yaakov Be'eretz Moshav Aviv. Be'eretz Yisrael, Shasham Anu Toshavim, in Eretz Yisrael, where we're supposed to be settled and comfortable, Sheltu Hayevanim V'Hamityavnim. The ruling power were the Greeks and the Hellenists, Jews. They did not allow anybody to keep Torah and mitzvah. And those who wanted to keep the Torah actually felt like exiles in their own land, strangers in their own land. Right? The people who were the strangers and the foreigners became the people who were settling in the land, the Greeks. Right, and the people who weren't keeping Torah and mitzvot, the people who were keeping the ideology of the land felt like foreigners and strangers. Kshigavru haChashronim v'nitzchum, the Chashronim won. Not nu koach kaful Yisrael, it gave a double strength. Libli liot ger b'makom shetzerich liot toshav, ulibli liot vayeshev be'eretz migurei aviv. Right, they gave him both strength to be no longer considered gerim in their place, but rather to feel like they're a toshavim in their own land. Says Rav Zevin, this is the lesson, 12 generations, last paragraph, which would equal to line 12 on the second column. When you're in the exile, you have to feel like an exile, like a stranger. You have to feel like you belong, like you're established, like it's yours. If your children feel like strangers, it'll certainly be in a land which they don't feel like they belong in. When will they feel like gerim? When should they feel like gerim? When they're not in their own land. If they're going to feel like they belong in the exile, they cannot be redeemed. Be'eretz Shalahem, in their land, Be'eretz Yisrael, Yagishu Kitoshavim. They should feel like they're the inhabitants, the indigenous population, the natives of the land. Praiseworthy is the person who feels like he's at home in your home. Be'eretz Yisrael Bechlal, Vatekinesio Vatemidoshav Bifrat. The idea of a ger and a toshav. When do you feel like a ger? When do you feel like a toshav? Where do you feel like a ger? Where do you feel like a toshav? And how that plays out with respect to Yaakov then, with respect to us now. Idea number one. Idea number two, I'm going up to page two, is the Kli Yaakov itself that he sort of quotes. But I wanted to bring you some more of that Kli Yaakov because I think it's very, very interesting. So the pasuk begins at the beginning of the parish of Eshev, Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Right? Yaakov settles in the land. And then Rashi, as I quote for you there, Vayesha Vikesh Yaakov Leshe Beshalva, Rashi quotes that Yaakov wanted peace. It had been rough. He had been through a lot, between his brother and his father-in-law and his children and the travel and all these other things. Enough. Kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef. Jumped on him, this sort of anger of Yosef. Tzadikim Mivakshim Leshe Beshalva, the righteous want to settle in peace. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Isn't it enough what I have for them already coming in the world to come? They also need to have it now also? Why not? Right? I mean, why not? Why can't I get both, right? If I'm going to choose, I'll choose both. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it doesn't work that way. It simply doesn't work that way. And the Kli Yaakov is going to work on the language of what does that word mean? Kafza. What does that idea mean? He says, line 5, Lamasha Kasav, Kafza Lav Rogzo Shel Yosef. Mahu Lashon Kafza. What is that word? Hayala Lomar Bali Yado in Yanoso Yosef. There's an easier way to say that. It's simply that the story of Yosef happened upon him. What is that word, Kafza? It's a very strange word. Umahu Lashon Rogzo. What does that mean, the anger of Yosef? Velami Yachet Harogez Le Yosef. Why is it specifically attached to the anger of Yosef? What does it mean? He says, what I want to say is the following. The anger of Yosef is Hainu Chata'o Shel Yosef, the sin of Yosef, which was what? Asher Bohir Giza Elohim B'mashahivi Dibasam Ra'ah Al Achiv. Echav, sorry. That he brought all of this negative stuff about his brothers to his father. Ech Shekorim Alachayhem Avadim. End of line 7, that they called the other brothers slaves. Right? That the sons of Leah called the sons of the maidservants slaves. Bilhah and Zilpah. Ad Shehayah Hadin Nosein Shele'eved Nimkar Yosef. Until it was the case that Yosef ultimately was sold as a slave. V'im Kain. Af im lo haya Yaakov mevakesh leishev b'shalva, even if Yaakov didn't want to settle in that period and live sort of a life of peace, mikom akom haya ones zera'u l'vol Yosef, some sort of punishment was worthy to Yosef. Zulat to Yosef ben shivas v'shana haya v'lo haya bar onshin, parenthetically, even though Yosef was still a child, he was 17 years old, he didn't necessarily have all of his wits about him, he doesn't necessarily fall into the category of somebody who, halachically speaking, would warrant an actual punishment, right? Going on to line number 10. Ulufishin ischarbu l'rogzo v'chatol sheYosef gam mashabike Yaakov leishev v'shalva. So what happened? You have both things happening at the same time. You have Yaakov wanting to settle, and Yosef causing this anger to stir. And as a consequence of the two of them together, you get what happens. Al-Kain, look at the end of line 10.
You're almost suggesting that the two issues are disconnected, but in reality, it is connected, right? The favoritism of Yaakov toward Yosef, which is well known, perhaps caused Yosef to be more jumpy, you know, more more arrogant, whatever well it is, right? So you can't disconnect that. You can't just say Yaakov wanted to be safe and settle, and Yosef was.
What he's saying is,
maybe this happened before he showed him more favoritism.
I think he always showed him more favoritism.
What I think, I understand what you're saying. I don't intend to sort of separate the two. What he's trying to say is that these things are sort of happening simultaneously, and neither of the two ultimately is what he's going to say warrants the result. The two of them together warrant the result.
Understood, but they play off each other. They're not done mutually
agreed.
Exclusive paths.
Agreed. I would agree with you, and I'm not going to separate them.
Yeah, it's not relevant to what we're talking about here.
Yes, we'll get to more of that as we go a little bit forward to the other ones. But yes, that's what he says. Al-Kain, on the line 10, Miher Hashem, Vasal Yosef Bar Onchin Kod Nizmano, right? He made Yosef Bar Onchin early. V'zehu Lashon Kaftzalav. That's what it means. It jumped upon him. Why? End of line 11. Ki kol kfitza more el davar shera'u lavo. The idea of something jumping up isn't something that's coming out of nowhere. It's something that's down the road that he's just making happen sooner than it was supposed to happen. Had Yosef been older at this point, he would have actually been worthy of the punishment, right? Since he's younger, God sort of speeds up the process, makes it jump a couple of years, and it's happening sooner. So that's what he says here. So he says, what does he want to do that? So that he can end this idea in Yaakov's mind that he's going to settle at this point in his life in peace. This one and that one, gam v'gam, both of them together caused it. Ki ono so Yosef levad lo yaspik, ki lo haya bar onchin. Yaakov's actions alone are not enough, and Yosef's actions alone are not enough to warrant what's about to happen. Right? The onus of Yosef, even though he's not necessarily worthy of some sort of a punishment at this time. So the idea of kafzo is driven by Yaakov's actions and also Yosef's actions. Nobody's innocent in this play. Everybody has a role. And everyone has a role that's not particularly good, let's say, at least from an outsider's perspective. And in this case, he's simply just trying to explain that terminology, which is an interesting terminology. I think it's sort of an interesting idea that this seems to be happening anyway. In other words, if God lets it play out for two more years, then Yosef's going to warrant that punishment He's going to suffer that consequence anyway. God sort of speeds it up in the process. The Kli Yakar writes in another location that, at least maybe it's earlier in that same piece, he writes that the idea that Yaakov wants to settle at that point contradicts the idea of Arba Mayot Shana, the idea that the Jewish people are going to be strangers for 400 years. Doesn't Yaakov understand that if he decides and has a chance to actually settle and live in peace, that that interrupts that period, and then the Jewish people are going to have to sort of start that over again, and they'll never survive it? And so perhaps another explanation is that this jumps up on Yaakov at this point to sort of keep that process rolling, which Yitzhak seemed to understand, and Avram seemed to understand, and Yaakov seems to now not want or not understand. And so that jumps up here also. So again, there's a lot going on here between what's sort of natural and normal behavior, let's say it that way, and the manner in which the family of Yaakov seems to have to operate, which is not on the normal level playing field, but on a different level with respect to all these things. And it just seems to keep jumping up at them at every single point.
You are. So they're both punished. Well, yes. Yaakov is punished for wanting a peaceful life, and Yosef is punished for speaking Lashon Hara, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
This idea that you just mentioned now about being strangers in a land, but that was the land of Egypt. They were not really strangers in the land of Eretz Canaan.
Right. So the Mepharshim, a lot of the commentaries explain that
it may
once,
have started the birth
right.
of Yitzhak or whatever.
So Yitzhak, once Yitzhak comes into being, that starts and they operate, right? A lot of the Mepharshim write that they're already operating
nice
in mode of being outsiders. That's why Avram buys places and Yaakov buys a location because it's not theirs, right? That's the whole fight with Lot.
That's true. The
right?
land is there, it's Israel, but it's not there.
It's not there yet. It's not there yet. I bring it because I think it's an interesting approach to the terminology. Buy it or leave it. Yeah.
So Yaakov could... So what would happen if Yaakov just, you know, if you could... You know, hindsight's 20/20, but if he would just sort of said, I want to just live... You know, I want to live as a stranger in this land. I don't want to feel...
It's a good question.
The Torah says, Garti, right?
Well, it uses the word, so right. the Chazal understand it that way, right? So, yeah, I don't know how it's different.
If God's putting it
there
in
is an idea.
Mind that he's a stranger.
Mitzrayim is going
to
happen,
learn from this,
right? Mitzrayim is going to happen, right? Some sort of Galut is going to happen at some point. It's a question of how and a question of exactly when and exactly with who. It's going to happen. So that's a question that comes up, which if we have time, we'll see that tonight also. Okay. Idea number three, page number three. I'm not going to do the second half there on page number two. But page number three from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is also his first statement in the first mamar in the parsha on the words of Ki ben zekunim hula. The idea that Yosef is this ben zekunim, whatever that term means. So Yaakov... it's a very simple question. Who is actually the Ben Zekunim of Yaakov? If you look at the terminology, what the Ben Zekunim typically means is the child, the young child of an old man is Binyamin, right? Binyamin is actually what would typically be called the Ben Zekunim, right? If someone has a child nowadays and that's much younger than their other children and they're older, so that child they jokingly call the Ben Zekunim, right? That's the term that people apply to that child. So what's going on with this term? And so what we see in Unkelus is that he says, doesn't mean Ben Zekunim mean that he's the youngest, but he's the Chakim. He's the smart one. He's the smart child. So it's an interesting statement, but we'll pick up in the second paragraph, which is line 16, whatever it is. The first word is Amnam. Okay, so he is sort of dealing with that idea of Ben Zekunim, the Chacham, what's going on here? And he asks, Amnamasha Hosi Rashi, Kol Masha Limed Mishem Ve'Ever Masarlo. So Yosef is this, child genius, right? Rashi says, everything that Yaakov learned at Shem Ve'Ever, he taught Yosef. Yesha Daktik. So he says in the second line there in that paragraph, Madua Dafka at Torah Shem Ve'Ever Masarlo. Why did he dafka teach it to Yosef? Velo Yaakov lamad gama itzel Avram zekeino v'yitzvak aviv. He also learned by Avram and Yitzvak. Velo hayalo et Torah tahavos limtzolo. He didn't have to teach him that.
Yosef learned by?
No, Yaakov.
Right.
Yaakov learned that Avram, Yitzhak, and Shem Ve'Ever.
They're right? Only talking about, okay.
Yeah, no, Avram's already gone, right? But, like, what? Why is he teaching him Shem Ve'Ever? Why is he teaching it to Yosef? He didn't teach his other children? Like, what's going on here? Why is he teaching it to Yosef? Why is he not teaching it to everybody? Why isn't he teaching them everything else? Why specifically is Rashi pointing out that he's only teaching him Torah, Shem Ve'Ever? Like, what's going on here? So he says, going up to the second column, Bianu b'zeh b'makom acher, in Parashas Vayetze, da Torah shel Shem Ve'Ever was a specific kind of Torah. Ha'isa Torah miyuchedas. Torah ha'golos. It was the Torah of golos. Ki rak Shem Ve'Ever shechayu b'dorom shel rishayim gimurim. Shem Ve'Ever who lived in the time of awful, horrible people. Vafel pikein hitzlichu li hisha'er b'tzid kasam. Right? They stayed righteous. They're the ones who could teach Yaakov how to live in the land of love. The teachings of his fathers, Avram and Yitzchak, do not work in the land of love. He needs another kind of Torah teaching. They were not influenced at all. Avram left it behind. Yitzhak was sort of separate and distinct. They had nothing to do with the people around them. Since it was the case that they had in their hands a Kabbalah mipi Avram shetzrichim hem adayin lichios be'eretz olahem vavadum v'inu osam, that they're going to go out. That's going to happen. Halotzarech Yaakov lahachin es banal v'galus osam. Yaakov had to prepare his children for that.
And there's your proof, Ego.
Brilliant. It's true.
Doesn't prove Yosef anywhere. That it doesn't prove that. It just proves that they had to go. Matzid shamalo kodesh baruch la'avim bris ben besarim yado ateita kigeri yezarecha. They knew the prophecy. V'lama lo das. Why does he have to know? Ela al korcha chod yokein amenatshi yedu ki aleim lachin et atzmam l'chayi hagolos. They have to get prepared. He's going to have to do that. He's going to have to be in Mitzrayim. Now, in there you can ask the question, how does Yaakov know that Yosef's going to be the one? That's a great question. He doesn't answer it. I'll answer it in just a second. Right? He doesn't answer that question. That's a hole right here in this situation. That's great. Teach it to all the kids. Mm-hmm. Why teaching it just to Yosef, right? Teach it to all of them. He's the one ultimately, right? In hindsight, it makes sense because he is the one who's going to be there. It doesn't prove anything for now. Okay, but that's beyond the point for the moment. He had to teach it to him. Torah Hagalus, the Torah of the exile, going up to the last column. Torah Shem Ve'Ever. The first line there in the third column. Shifteka. Shelo Yadu Es Asibim Adua Lo Med Yaakov Im Yosef. Yoser Torah Measher Limed Itam Niskanubo Viradafuhu. The brothers didn't know. They did not know that Yaakov was teaching this to Yosef, which is unbelievable to think about, which raises the same question of, well, why not? Why? How did Yaakov know? He knew something. How does that work? So I'll say it to you right now. I think it was the case that Yaakov viewed Yosef as the leader of the boys. That clearly the idea that when he separates Yosef out as Ben Zakunim, when that Yosef is the one who's Mesharet Yaakov, Yaakov already views Yosef in a leadership capacity, even at a very young age, and he is going to be the one who's going to lead the brothers, whatever that is, and whenever that is, and wherever that is, from this point, even though he's younger than all of them. And so, even though he doesn't say it here, I think you have to say that that's true. Otherwise, it's a massive gap in this explanation. But you have to say, no, Yaakov looks at his boys, he knows this is going to happen, who's going to be the one, right? It's not going to be Reuven, right? It's not going to be Shimon and Levi, he's not happy with those guys. Yehuda has yet to do anything that has sort of separates him out to be the leader. He has something, Yosef is the son of Rachel, right? There's something there. And so he says, oh, that's the guy, someone's got to know this Torah, the rest of them have to know Torah. Someone's got to go to the specific Torah of Golus. That's going to be Yosef. That does not prove that Yaakov knows that Yosef is in Mitzrayim. But it does explain why he does teach him this. Okay, let's finish this out. Dari Babris Ben Abisarim Namar Gamkein Shachrech and Yitzuruchus Godo. Vainu Kabbalah Satora Hasina, Vlachen Kisharosh, Yaakov Lomedim Yosef. Where they saw line 9, that Yaakov and Yosef are learning together. Extra. Chashvu Shirak Hu Yizkela Kabbalah Satora. They thought he is going to get the Torah, and not the rest of us. Allah MS who? The Lahem he speak of Torah Sa'avos. They got the Torah of the Avos. Rak Yosef Hutzrach, the Torah Shem Vo'Ever. That's that additional Torah. It's a very interesting idea. I think if you fill that gap with what we just said, you sort of come away with something that I think holds together. And it raises something that's really going on in the story, which the Malvin really talks about in source number 4, on page number 4, which is, what exactly is happening here in this family? Like, it seems something is just going on here. Something's missing in this story, in this situation. And it simply seems to be that, for lack of a better term, they're operating on different playing fields. Yaakov is up here, Yosef is hovering somewhere in the middle, the brothers are somewhere else, and no one is able to sort of create any natural line of communication where everything is explained to everybody at the same time and they all get on the same page. And so when Yosef is operating in a certain manner, the brothers view him a certain way, and Yosef views himself a certain way, and Yaakov views him a different way. And no one explains it to anybody. And it creates this sort of
resentment.
Yeah, an air of resentment and jealousy and pain and frustration and anger and ultimately hatred. Because they're just hovering around each other, like in different spheres and bubbles. And it's just not working. And the Malbim sort of plays that out here. In this manner. Look at what he says in source number 4. So this is now, again, we haven't gotten more than 4 psukim into the parasha. Yisrael Ahav is Yosef Mikol Bonav. Yaakov loves Yosef. Ki ben zukunim lo, same pasuk. Vasu lo koton es pasim. Makes from that coat. Vayir Achav ki oto Ahav aviyah Mikol Achav. The brothers see that Yaakov loves Yosef. This is page 4. To top of the page. Vayisnu oto. They hated him. Velo yochlu dabro l'shalom. They could not speak to him. Says the Malbim. This is in the middle of a piece, so I'm only bringing you that part of the piece. We may not get through all of it, just in the interest of time. V'nei Yosef nages midosav, Yosef operated al pi atzas sichlo be'erach tovim. He went according to the way he thought, and he was trying to do good stuff. Shehayah na'ar, he was a young guy, u'mesharet et echav habechutim imadriga, and he would serve the brothers who were viewed as lower, mitzad anavat Tzedek v'shiflut rucho. He was sort of bringing himself down. He was trying to operate in a, not a demeaned capacity, but a diminished capacity. He wanted to show himself to be open to these brothers, humble before them, where he could easily have had an elevated status because he was the son of Rachel. V'b'chozo gava libo b'darkei Hashem. Right? He was very proud that he was serving God. He did not try to offer advice or any interesting ideas towards his older brothers, right? Even though they needed it. When he saw line 7, in the line 7 going to line 8, that they were talking badly about each other, he told it to his father, why? Not because he hated them. Me'avosotam, because he loved them. Midas emes vashalom, and of interest of truth and peace. Asher metzo came benafsho, leman yochicham aviyem, v'yase atzal shalom b'neihem, so that the father, Yaakov, would come to them and would teach them and would speak to them and would rebuke them about being more respectful and being more welcoming and being more open to their brothers. Aval, big word here, right? Hashvatim danu kol zeh lechova. Their brothers did not see it that way. First, shemasha ro'eh osam u'manhigam be'etzah humi gavaso v'zidoni ba. He's not doing it out of any goodness. He's doing it out of pride and out of an interest in making them look bad. U'mashe mashvi letatzmo lifnei b'nei hashfachot. That which he is sort of taking himself down a rung in front of the sons of the maidservants. Humi shiflut midotah v'ro'at chunato. Sha'apachot yidbak Bapachutin. It's because not because he's so high and he's bringing himself down. It's because he's actually low and bad and not good. And the low connect to the low. Three, end of line 11. Mashemevi di batame laviv, which is bringing these words, what they're speaking about their brothers to the father, because he wants to take them down. And by taking them down, raise himself up. Veshumotzi diba mishaleach medani. Right? So he's trying to, again, Yosef is operating in a certain manner. He thinks he's operating Latov, right? They see the exact same things that he's doing them, that he's doing, and they see them completely flipped over, all lira. All of it is negative, right? Simply can't see it. And as it continues, into line 13, Vayu Echav, Valachav Danu Baza Kavana Acheret, V'chashu Ki Oto Ahav Avihem, Shebemet Ahavat Ahav Le'echad Mibana B'derek Aguim, Eina Ahava Atzmit, Ra'a Ahava Gashmit. Avalheim Chashu Shoavo Ahava Atzmit. Right? They thought that he only loved him. Shal Zamar Ki Oto Ahav. Him, he loved. V'chein Bashir Ra'u Ki Ahav Oto Mikulam, V'efsha Shlo Yimtze Gam Bahem Yalit Shashuim, L'chein V'yisnu Oto. They hated him. Vahu, line 16, Ki ad ata rak echad min habanim hayahaleva hasegula. What happened till this point in history? They're just looking at history. History says that one son is chosen over the other sons. It happened already twice. Yitzhak over Yishmael, Yaakov over Esav. This is generation number three. They're all looking around, waiting. Who's going to be the one? Maybe it's me. And then, boom, it's not me. It's that guy, and that guy's the youngest guy, and he doesn't even hide it, right? And so they hate him. Yeter habanim hayu leklipot, they become shells, peels. V'yishmael nidcham ibnei Yitzchak, v'esav ibnei Yaakov, v'yitzchak v'yaakov yarshu birchas Avram, and Yitzchak and Yaakov got the bracha of Avram. Ha'bechora, v'ha'bracha, v'yirushas ha'aretz, v'adibuk ha'eloki. Ulbnei ha'pilagshim, line 19, natan Avram matanas v'yishachem, the children of the concubines, his other wives later on, he gives them gifts, he sends them away. Vesa b'chi yarash b'chlas chera v'har seir, Esav took har seir, v'nidcha minachalas Hashem, he also, gone. Line 20, b'asher lo yadu ha'shvatim. The shvatim did not know. Sha'ata yit notzeit ha'inyan ha'eloki amateh shlema v'shekol shifte ka yu levu sugula. They had no idea that what was happening now was that it wasn't going to be one of them, it was going to be all of them. The Ra'ush Yaakov Ahav Raket Yosef, but they saw that Yaakov only loved Yosef. And this is what I said to you before.
They were going to get sent away?
They were not the one. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know that there was no one, there was 12, and that it was going to be all 12. And for whatever reason, this is what I said to you at the beginning, they're simply operating on different planes. It seems that all Yaakov needed to do at this point was to make it clear to them now, guys, this is how it's going to operate. That was then. That's over. Right? You know, Avram had Yishmael first, and then Yitzhak, and then, you know, Tati had Esav and me, and had to choose and had to pick one. That's not happening now. Now, you're all good. You're all righteous. You're all tzaddikim. It's going to be a big family of 12. You're going to work together as tribes, and everyone's going to be one big family. Right? And that conversation does not appear to happen. But their sort of internal feeling about the situation the Malbim is explaining is they're just simply looking at the facts on the ground and the way that it happened in the first two generations and the way that their father seems to be behaving, and they're seeing this as, well, okay, we're out. You know, it took 17 years, but we're out of the story, right?
It can't happen. It can't happen because of what you said earlier. This idea of shalom, this idea of living in peace, is only possible if Yaakov would have done exactly what you're saying here, communicated properly. Then they would have lived in peace. Then they wouldn't have gone to the Galut.
They're still going to go to the Galut. They're going to go to the Galut differently, right? They're going to go to Galut some way. That's still going to happen. They're still going to have to go. That has to happen. That's already in the Brit Ben Abitarim. That's going to happen. Even I saw someone pointed out to me a few weeks ago, that the Shem Yishmuel writes in his commentaries on the Beit Ben Abitarim that it's actually Avram's idea that there should be a Galut, and that it's not coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avram initiates that concept that the Jewish people have to leave to come back. to create that ratzon and that desire for it. So, which is fascinating. We'll have to do that next year in Parshas Lech Lecha. But here, it's going to happen. But it could happen differently than the way it happened, right? It happens the way it does happen. And he continues and he goes further. Look with me, line 27. After all that happens with this, and it plays out, and Yosef has his dreams, and it's bad. So what did he decide to do? They didn't know what else to do. Excuse me. Lachain chashu lechalot kotz machiv min hakerem. They tried to get rid of the thorn. The toel kali, not simply for their own specific, but with a general purpose and intent. Lo mikinat ish mireehu. Wasn't simply just jealousy of one for the other. Leman lo yichalel sarei kodesh v'itein lecharim Yaakov Yisrael legidufim. It's not that. They were concerned that this was going to destroy their family. This one person who's operating in this manner, this guy who is behaving in this way, and he is prideful, and he's boastful, and he's showy, and he's all these things, and he's not internally like he is externally, and he's faking it, and all this other stuff. Get rid of that. And that says, line 28, V'lo yichlu lizbol davro l'shalom. They could not talk to him. They simply could not tolerate him anymore. And he continues, right? But the idea that Yosef continues after this, and they already hate him. He hasn't even told them about the dreams yet. They already hate him. The only way that operates and happens is either if Yosef's a really bad guy, or he's completely oblivious to what's going on. He's not aware of the brother's behavior or thought processes based towards him. Or he really buys what he's selling in terms of the dreams. He has to tell them. But they already hate him. They already hate him for all what he's doing so far. And so what the Malbim takes from what's going on here is that the brothers and Yosef and Yaakov are all operating on different planes and communicating on different level on different fields. And simply, the reality of what's to be is not clearly defined for all of them. They don't necessarily all believe it and buy it. They're simply just out of sorts. And so they make a decision out of righteousness. He says, everyone's operating righteously. Yosef's operating righteously. Yaakov's operating righteously. The brothers are operating righteously. Everyone's operating with good intentions for the best interest of everybody. And it's all not in the best interest of everyone at the same time because they're not communicating with each other. And because they're not communicating with each other, the entirety of the situation falls apart. And what plays out. Yosef is Hura the Mitzrayim. And ultimately Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, which we won't have time to talk about this week because that doesn't happen this week. I run out of time because you have to go to Meir.
The mace of the whole balagan.
Yes. The last two pieces are worth your time, I promise. I still haven't gone to a Nesiv Shalom, even like bring him like almost every week in the Shir and the Maamar Kamos. Never get to him. The piece that the Shemen HaTov brings is a very powerful Musar. You should definitely read it. And definitely also the Nesiv Shalom, also explaining the idea, the concept behind Yosef seeing the image of his father in that moment with Eishes Potifar. What exactly that means, what exactly happens there. It's a very beautiful, very powerful understanding. We'll continue in 2 weeks.